Welcome to the Flutter 101 podcast, a podcast focusing on Flutter and Dart. My name is Vince Varga, and welcome to the show. I'm very excited to share today's episode with you. I talked to Madhab Tadayon. She's a software developer, YouTuber, and Google developer expert for Flutter and Dart. She is the founder of the Flutter Explained YouTube channel, where Madhab and Max publish videos about Flutter, live coding, Flutter news, and tutorials. So if you are not a subscriber yet, definitely check out the Flutter Explained YouTube channel. And a quick disclaimer, she is also my colleague at MediaMarkt Saturn. She shared her story on how she switched from industrial engineering to software development and how she learned coding while traveling, how she got her first developer job, gave her first talks, the importance of meetups and mentors, and how she eventually became a Google developer expert. You will find links in the show notes to all the things we talked about. Before we start the episode, I'm sorry for the low sound quality from my side. I had to record this episode while traveling, and I didn't have access to my usual microphone. Then, let's get this started. I hope you will enjoy this episode with Madhab. Welcome, Madhab. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Vince. Thank you for having me and inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Could you please briefly introduce yourself?
Yes, for sure. So my name is Madhab Tadayon. I'm a software engineer or Flutter developer at MediaMarkt Saturn. And I'm actually a colleague of you. So also episode of that, I'm the founder and content creator of the Flutter Explained YouTube channel, where Max and I are creating tutorial videos for Flutter about Flutter and general topics about development. And I'm also a Google developer expert since a couple of months. And beside of that, I'm also a member of the Flutterista community. Probably you have heard about it.
The reason why I invited you today, of course, we are also colleagues at MediaMarkt, so that's one reason. But I also saw your talk at the Flutteristas conference in April this year. And you talked about how you get from zero programming knowledge to basically becoming a software developer or software engineer in 2 years. And I think this topic would be very interesting to share with the podcast listeners. Would like to hear your story.
Yes, for sure. So actually, I studied industrial engineering at the university. So I completed my bachelor degree in Iran, and after that came to Germany to continue my master degree, also in industrial engineering. I completed my university and got my university degree and was super excited about finally start to work as a real someone who really earned some money and not a student job anymore. After that was back in 2015, I started to work as an internal account manager at one industrial company in Germany. This company was an international company, and they produced some pipelines for big companies. So they created components and such stuff, which was at that time very interesting for me. But sooner or later, I would say that was around 2 years. After this time, I realized that this is nice to have and this is nice to work there, but they don't challenge me enough. And I wanted to have some changes. That was the main reason why I decided to start and to search for something different. But I should also say that I earned so good at that time that was not such an easy decision just to quit and to start to do something different. Therefore, beside of my work, I started to Google and search for some other opportunities. And I wanted always also in high school to get a bit more into programming and coding and do some fancy, I don't know, creating app, creating web and such stuff. And at that time, I said, why not? Let me give it a try and see if it works for me. So I looked for some courses which I could do beside of my main job. And I found the Udacity platform. Probably you have heard about it. There's a platform where you can do some courses, and there are, they actually offer many different topics. And one of the courses that they offer was Intro to Programming, non-degree. And I started with that. So I started to learn about HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and a bit of Python.
I do have one question about basically your past career.
Mm-hmm.
How much programming do you learn as an industrial engineer? Because, for example, I studied physics. Everyone is surprised that we learn to code. I mean, some people are surprised that we had a lot of programming. And I was curious, how much programming do you have as an industrial engineer?
To be honest, we didn't have any. So no, probably it's wrong. I had a bit of Visual Basic in bachelor degree. And after that, in my master degree, I had, for example, some general topics such as how to do the project management for software development, for software development companies, or require management for creating a software or something like that. But really getting deep into coding and programming was actually not the case for us.
Hmm. Okay. So you decided to change careers?
Mm-hmm.
Then you started with Udacity, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I started with Udacity, with the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and a little bit of Python, which was great. And this course took me, I think, around 5-6 months. And that was actually the basic of programming for me. Learning about code and learning about how the stuff is working. And in this course, we had a different assignment, which we had to provide. And we had small projects and questions that we had to answer and got feedback from the mentors and such as stuff.
And do you remember some of the smaller coding challenges that you had during the nano degree?
Yeah, actually, one of them, or I would say that was, I think, the last project that I did. That was the memory project, where you have to flip the cards to find the right cards. And I had to do that with, I think, with Python. And that was just horrible for me at the time. That was really challenging and really hard, right? But at the end, I could overcome that and complete that, which the final result was really amazing. And I was really proud of what I created, for sure.
And what did you do after Udacity, or how did you continue after the nano degree?
So after the nano degree, I was pretty sure that I would like to stay in this field and continue and learn more about software development. And the first decision to make for me was at that time to quit my job so that I can focus on my career as a software developer. And I was lucky enough because my partner and I decided at that time to go on work travel. So I quit my job, he quit his job, and we went actually to travel around the world a bit. And at this time, that was 6 months roundabout, and at this time, I tried to figure out more and more about, to create a small website, to deep dive in different, programming languages that I had at that time, and also do some coding challenges and such a stuff to just stick with coding. Because I can remember the just small stuff at that time was for me not self-explained. So I needed a lot of actually practices. And therefore, that was important for me to stay and stick with the with programming at that time.
And how could you basically manage traveling and learning programming at the same time? So how could you stay on track and how could you manage your time?
Yeah, it's a very good question because many people think that when you are traveling around the world, you are just traveling and chilling and things such as stuff. But that was actually not the case. Besides of traveling, we started to create our blog and create a website, create a WordPress website. Mm-hmm. Which was more like WordPress, but I had, for example, to do just some small adjustment with CSS or to do some animation and such a stuff. And these small examples was for me at that time somehow also some practices. And beside of that, I should admit, I have a partner who is very motivated to motivating me for to stick into programming. And we did some, for example, we on each of us pick up some challenges. Yeah, and my partner and I did, some, for example, some exorcism where he picked up a, I don't know, challenge, and I and we decided to overcome that or completed that, and that was somehow a competition between us, a bit, so that we can motivate each other. And to be honest, if you are going on travel and you don't have a home base, you can't just travel around. So it's also exhausting, and sometimes or some days you just enjoy if you can stay in your Airbnb room or in your hotel room and do some other stuff. And for us, and this time, in this, we decided to just create our own website, or we did also some YouTube videos where you can probably also still find it, but don't Google for that. And also did a bit of coding.
Okay. So you were on, basically, you were traveling around the world, you were learning coding, and what happened next? How did you get your first job, or did you get your first job immediately, or how was that?
Yeah, after 6 months, we arrived in New Zealand, and in New Zealand, we decided to stay a bit longer. So that was not, we didn't want just to stay a couple of weeks, rather than we wanted to at least be there for 6 months, or longest probably to have a working holiday visa, which we had at that time, and stay for 1 year. That was a great time for me to dig deeper actually into programming, and I was looking for some opportunity to do an internship or such a stuff. And for that, I went to different meetups and tech talks in New Zealand. That was, we were in Christchurch. This is in the South Island of New Zealand. And there I could meet different entrepreneurs and startup companies. And that was a great opportunity and connection with the with people for me, because I just talked with them. I told them my story and what is my next step or what I want to do as next. And so I came into communication and into, to do some relation with them. And that was great at that time, because out of this communication with different people, I could manage an internship for 3 months. So I got an internship in a startup, which was on site at that time. And they are creating an application for the farmers and contractors. And they give me this opportunity, and I could start as an intern there. And in these 3 months, I could learn about programming with Xamarin, about writing end-to-end test with Catalon, or for example, to work or to learn, or I would say also to hear for the first time about CI/CD pipeline, and also about general topics of software development, which you don't actually, or I didn't actually learn about them in any courses, such as, for example, how the daily work of software development look like, how the software architecture look like, or for example, agile methodology and the Scrum team, how does it work? And to have this whole picture of this daily work of software development was really helpful for me to get it better, to understand it better, and decide for me if I want to stick or to stay in this path.
How did you find Flutter? And so basically, you are now you came from JavaScript, Python to Xamarin. It sounds like Flutter is somewhere somewhere close in your career. Is that correct? Or
yeah, exactly. These 3 months show me that I actually would love to stick with app development. But after these 3 months, I was also pretty sure that I don't like to stick with Xamarin. So it was nice time. And that was nice to learn a lot about it. But yeah, that was not what I wanted to stick with that. And after these 3 months, I decided to come out, or that was actually this 3 months of internship. And after that, I had more time to figure out the next steps and the next challenges for me. And for that, I actually, after we came back to Germany, that was end of 2019, I wanted, I looked for that and I Googled a bit. And so I found that Flutter to write the cross-platform applications. And that was in that time very interesting for me, that I can actually create, have one code base and create iOS, Android, and also web application, which was motivating me much more to learn more about that. And for that, I started with a Udemy course of Angela Yu to learn about more about Flutter. And at that time, I was actually also pretty active in Twitter, and in Twitter, probably you also know that you are also active in Twitter. It's, the Flutter community is very active, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there I got very good insights and from the Flutter members, and how they are motivating and supporting each other was also one of the reasons what I thought I can give the Flutter try and see if this is something for me, which I can imagine to work longer with that. And with the Udemy course of Angela Yu, that was a pretty good start for me. I did the course, and after that time, I was, for me, that was just clear that, yeah, this is going to be the way where I want to go, and I want to stick with that. And after that, I started to create some small application with, also again with Max. We started to create a small application about the traveling, which we missed somehow on our world travel. And for example, the Firebase authentication and such a stuff. And that was a great time at that time to get deeper into Flutter. But unfortunately, after a couple of months where we were working on that, the COVID hit up, and our idea with traveling and creating application for some travelers were not much.
It didn't make sense anymore, right?
No, unfortunately not. So that was a nice try, and we came pretty far actually. But after this time, we thought, yeah, let's put it on the side, and probably we'll grab it again someday. But with that, I tried to go deeper into Flutter. And beside of that, I started also with Max the YouTube channel. So actually, he started that. And after a while, I joined him for creating the tutorial videos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And could you say a little bit more about your YouTube channel?
Yeah, for sure. So Flutter Explained is the name of the YouTube channel. And we are creating technical tutorials. And I also started a couple of videos till now, and tomorrow is actually the next videos that has come out about the object box. And what I like or love about it, creating YouTube videos, is that if you want to explain a topic to your audience, you have to learn and understand it so well that you can explain it. So that means for me, I would say as a beginner at the time, it was a great way to learn better about what I wanted also to teach to someone else. And it helped me a lot to go deeper in understanding the different topics that I wanted to present on our channel. Yeah, that was the benefit of that, for example, for me on YouTube channel. But yeah, in general, in our on our YouTube channel, you can find different tutorial about Flutter, Dart. We did also a couple of live coding. Max is at the moment also active with other live codings, where he is programming some, I don't know, some applications and or also some coding challenges or something like such stuff. So if you're interested, subscribe to our channel as well.
Okay, awesome. And basically, you started doing videos about Flutter even before you got your first Flutter job, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Were you also already active with talks at meetups and online meetups as well? How did you get your first Flutter job?
So, I started with the YouTube tutorials and on our YouTube channel. And besides of that, I was also pretty active on Twitter. And on Twitter, for sure, you can do some connection with the other peoples. And I was posting also about different topics that I were interested. I did, for example, if any new videos came out, and also did some conversation with different people. And out of this conversation and my post, I was asked a couple of times, for example, if I'm interested to giving a talk. And with that, I got, for example, the opportunity to talk on a different community. And because of the COVID, at the moment, is everything as also online, which was good for me at the time, that I could just give online talks. I gave a talk about flavors. I gave also a talk about animation or slivers. Or my last talk was in April, as you mentioned before, on the Flutteristas, about my journey actually to become a software developer. And probably it's worth to mention also for people who doesn't know or hear about Flutterista, that Flutterista is actually a worldwide community for people whose gender identity is either female or non-binary and are interested in Flutteristica. So our community is getting actually bigger and bigger every day. And yeah, if anyone is interested, just go to Flutterista's Google for that, and you can see that you can sign up for the community. It's actually a great place where you can exchange your knowledge or give support, get some support, or also talk with other community members. And we have also some meetups or presentation in monthly basis that you can also join. Okay, sorry, that was a long answer for the first question. And what was the second question now, Vince?
Yeah, the second question was basically how you got your first Flutter job.
Yeah. Okay, beside of all this stuff, I think that was last year in summer. I had the feeling that I'm confident enough now to apply for a Flutter developer role. And so in summer, I started to search a bit for different opportunities. But at that time, I can remember there were not so many actually position open for Flutter. But I was lucky enough that on LinkedIn, I found the advertisement for the current Flutter position that I have, actually. And I thought, why not? I will give it a try. And they wanted a junior Flutter developer, where our boss was searching for. And I applied for that. And after a couple of days, I got a response from them that they would love to have an interview with me. And the interview was very interesting for me, because I had the feeling that the main and the most important thing was also for the interview to have someone who is motivated, to have someone who is willing to learn, and to someone who is for sure try to expand his knowledge about Flutter. And yeah, last but not least, for sure, bring also some Flutter experience with himself. And yeah, with that, I went to the first interview, and I think in the second interview, I had a coding challenge where I had to code and create a small application with Flutter and different plugins that they are required for that. And yeah, in the second interview, I had to introduce my application. I had to talk about my code and why I decided for this way or this plugin and how did I implement it. And yeah, answer some question. And the third interview was about getting to know the team. And after the third interview, I got the job.
Oh, nice. And do you think that, because basically even before you applied for that job, you already created videos on YouTube about Flutter. Do you think it helped when applying for that position, or what was it even mentioned during the interview?
I would say yes. It was for sure a benefit of for me, out of a couple of reasons. They actually saw that I'm working with Flutter, and my GitHub repository was pretty active in that time. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, I just code and use the GitHub for that, and because of the videos, they could also see that I am trying to explain my code to other people, and I'm able to do that. And beside of all of this, also in the interview, they were asking me how I could, for example, stay motivated and why I like to create such stuff and such such thing. And I think all of these are showing that you are motivated and you want to achieve something. I think this is just beneficial.
Mm, okay. You are also a GDE. Could you share with us your path to becoming a GDE and say a little bit more about what it even means to be a Google Developer Expert, and what are the benefits and benefits of the program, for example, for the experts? And yeah, could you maybe say a couple of words about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a GDE since a couple of months, and actually I got asked after my Flutter presentation if I'm interested in that role. And I should admit that I didn't expect that. I think it's most probably is common also for many people that they think always they are not probably, I don't know, they don't think about to have this opportunity at all, or they think they are not good enough for this thing or such stuff. And I know that Nilay is the community manager of Flutter, she reached out to me and asked me if I am interested to be a GDE. And I was pretty surprised at that time, because I was like, whoa, pardon, what's happening now? And that is really good. And I was thinking, yeah, if she's asking me and if I can get it, why not? So I tried to understand at first and figure out what is like to be a GDE. And after I read about it, I decided to accept her request and go for the interview. To be a GDE or a Google Developer Expert means that you are actually there for your community and you want to help other community members. This is very important to for your interview, actually. This is the main, I would say, goal of BAJDE. Applying for this, I would say, probably a role, you need some requirements. And for example, to give some talks is one of the requirements. To be active in the community is the other requirements, or to writing some blog article, or creating YouTube videos, or creating podcasts, such as that. They are all points that you can collect to applying for the GDE. And I checked the requirements and I had most of them. So I said yes to Nile, and after that I got the first invitation for the GDE. There are two interviews that you have during this your application. The first one is the community interview, where you have with another GDE, and there it's mainly about how active you are and why do you want to become a GDE and what is your goal and how you help the community. And the second interview is about the product interview, which was for me, for example, Dart and Flutter, and to give them the impression that you know about the stuff, you know about Flutter enough, you know about Dart enough, you get some question where you have to answer. And and after the second interview, I was accepted into this program and I became a GDE.
Okay.
Did I answer all your questions about
BAJDE? I think so. Yeah. Thank you for answering. And also congratulations. And
thank you very much.
Do you have any tips for beginners and developers in earlier phases of their career? I mean, of course, we talked about how you got your first job and then a first internship and then the first job, and but do you have any suggestions and tips for beginners and developers in earlier phases of their career? How to stay motivated, how to know what to learn, how to learn, when to learn, and things like that?
Probably I could give a couple of advice. I think to become a software developer and become a good coder is not easy. So, and there is also not a shortcut, I would say, to become a software developer or become a good developer. There are some YouTube videos where they mention become a software developer in just a couple of days or a couple of weeks or such an article, which is, I would say, for me at least, it's not realistic. And if you want to become a software developer and you think it's going to be fun for you, give it just a try. Give it a try. Don't be hesitated. Don't make a drama out of that. Just go for it. Start with that. And I would say it's not an easy topic. Not at all. But it's possible. If you love and you like to do and to have the feeling that you can solve the challenges and overcome the problems and understand the stuff, it makes so much fun that you will stick to that. And for getting better and better in software development and in programming, I think it's just important to sit in front of your computer, to start some projects, small projects probably for yourself, create some stuff, get stuck into a problem, sometimes also get frustrated, and after that try to find the solution. And Googling is, for example, just Googling was one of the biggest topic for me at that time, how to Google. I don't know. That was not easy. I think it's not actually easy to write the correct question. And but if you want to do that and you want to learn that, I think you will come better and better by time. And I think also what is very important is that to take your time, create the stuff, get stuck in that, and don't hurry for getting, I don't know, to complete your project, because next project that you will start with also somehow similar, but to understand what you are doing and also to understand it and getting deeper will help you a lot for all your future stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And another thing I wanted to ask, I saw a couple of your talks. You talked about flavors in Flutter, slivers and animations. And so you have experience giving talks in a public forum and meetups. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask what your process for creating these talks are. So how do you prepare? What do you pay attention to make sure that your talk is interesting and, I don't know, short, but not too short, not too quick, but explains everything correctly? How do you basically prepare your talks?
Yeah, I think the first thing in creating and preparing a talk is, for me at least, to choose a topic. To have a right topic and some idea of what you want to talk, I think it's somehow challenging. But after you decided to have a talk, I think it's important for you to break it down so that you can understand and you can explain it in a way that the audience can understand it. And after that, I don't know, for example, if you have a talk or time for 20 minutes, don't create, 40 slides or something like that, rather than just stick with for 20 minutes, I would say, for example, go for 10 to 12 slides and break your topics into a smaller chunk and explain it to your audience. If you want to go for some live coding, be prepared. That's always when you are giving a talk, something is going wrong and something happened probably that you are not expected. So I try always to prepare for such a step and create a demo for that or do a recording in case something it doesn't work, that I can just bring it up and say, yeah, normally it should work like this and that, but it doesn't work at the moment because you can't, you don't know how the technique is working. And sometimes, I don't know, everything is weird and you get also stress and something like that. And yeah. You can't focus on the, and with the pressure and everything, it's going a bit not in the right way. And for giving a talk, I think my last advice is that just do that. I know it's hard to talk about some topic in front of the people or other audience, because you always also thinking about, probably what I'm saying is not 100% correct. But to be honest, I'm always thinking about, at least I'm doing that. I Google for that. I do it according to best of my knowledge, and be open also for some feedback. If someone's coming to you and say the way that you are doing is not the best way, because in software development, you can do or create something in, I don't know how many different ways. So be open for feedback. And if someone is giving you feedback that this or that way can work better, just accept it or learn about it and take it into consideration. But don't let people that they bring you down or demotivate you, rather than just focus on your goal and go for your talk.
Okay, thank you. Awesome. Is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners that I forgot to ask?
No, actually, thank you for having me, Vince. And the only thing that I would say probably from people who who are self-taught software developer, I would say it's possible to be a software developer also without any background, programming background from the university or something different. And if you would like and love to be a software developer, just give it a try and stick to that and don't give it up.
Awesome. And where can our listeners find you online? On which social platforms are you active on?
So you can find me actually on Twitter as matup_dev and also on our YouTube channel and Flutter Explained.
Then I would also like to thank you for joining for the podcast and bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Vince. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please do me a favor and recommend the episode to your friends. Both online and in-person recommendations are appreciated, so share either on social platforms such as Twitter and LinkedIn, or just mention the podcast to your coworkers and software developer friends. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many others. You can also listen to the podcast directly from your web browser on flutter101.dev, that is flutter101.dev. You will also find an RSS feed there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review. It only takes a couple of seconds and can help the podcast reach a bigger audience. Have a great day and see you next time.